you'd like to read along with me, I'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. 1 Thessalonians 2, 6 and 7. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a mother cherisheth her children.
The high school teacher had spent the hour lecturing to his students on the properties of magnets. And the next day he gave his students a quiz, and the first question on that quiz was, "My name begins with an M, has six letters, and I'm always picking things up. What am I?" Half the class wrote down "mother." Some elementary school children were asked to paint a verbal portrait of their mothers by answering a few questions. The first question was, why did God make mothers? One answered, "She's the only one who knows where the Scotch tape is." Another question was, what ingredients are mothers made of? And the answer was, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and a dab of mean. What does mom do in her spare time? Mothers don't do spare time. What would you change about your mother? One answered, "She has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that." Another said, "I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my sister who did it and not me." Then the question, why did your mom marry your dad? One answered, because he makes the best spaghetti in the world and mom likes to eat. Another one was, because she was too old to do anything else. And the one that I like the most is, my grandma says mom married dad because she didn't have her thinking cap on. Now these are funny, and they're cute, and it took a lot of time to find them. But there are really some great portraits of motherhood in Scripture. In Exodus chapter 2, there's the picture of the mother of Moses, who cared so much for her son that she took this awful chance by hiding him for 3 months. And then as verse 3 says, she couldn't hide him any longer, so she made a basket out of reeds, and she waterproofed that basket and placed it in the river along the bank. And Pharaoh's daughter found the child, but that the child was returned to Moses' mother, who nursed him and then later on returned him to Pharaoh's daughter when he got older. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we have the account of Hannah, a woman who was deeply loved by her husband but could not have children, and she worried over this and prayed so fervently. And she promised God that if he gave her a child, she would place that child in service to him. And we see later on when she gave that child to Eli to be in service to the Lord. And we must appreciate the sacrificial love of the mother in 1 Kings chapter 3, who was with another woman standing before Solomon. And both women claimed that the child was their own, and Solomon decided to go ahead and divide the child and give each woman half. In verse 26, tells us that this woman was willing to give her child to the other woman to spare his life. And we can't forget about the mother of James and John, who in Matthew chapter 20 and 20 and 21, she loved her son so much that she wanted them to sit on the left and the right side of Jesus when he came into his kingdom. We all know today is Mother's Day. And for some, it's a difficult time for a variety of reasons, and for that, I am truly sorry. But for others, it is a time to celebrate the one who loved, the one who is loved, and the one who is deeply appreciated. So this morning, I would love for us to take a look at the nature of mother and to be able to make the application that all of us need to live like a mother. No, guys, you're not going out and buying dresses after service. But to live with the heart, the attitude, and the disposition of a mother. And just thinking about these things, can you imagine just how much better the world would be if we treated others like a mother treats a child? Eunice was a young mother. She had been raised in a godly home by her mother, Lois. Eunice was a Jewish woman. She had married a Greek man. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1 tells us that Eunice was a believer. And when her son came along, it fell to her and to her mother, Lois, to raise him in the love and instruction of the Lord. And if you want to try to place yourself in that position, you can try to imagine, if you will, the hours that they may have spent telling Timothy the various accounts of the Old Testament, spending all this time praying for him and teaching him how to apply biblical teachings to life. And then according to verse 3 of Acts chapter 16, it says that Paul had heard of Timothy and that he wanted Timothy to go with him on his journey. And the two of them together had spread the gospel throughout Asia. And later, as Paul was in prison, he wrote Timothy two letters that contained some teachings on leadership and teachings on other things. But he also, in 2 Timothy verse 1, reflects on the mothers that made the impact on Timothy and his life. And it is from there that I would like us to see what we can learn about the heart of a mother and how to live with a mother's heart. Now, both Eunice and Lois had a respect for Scripture. And for all of us here this morning, do those around us sense or even see our respect for Scripture? Or do they know that we know or care about the Bible at all? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you look in verse 12, Paul writes, it says, "All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." But he goes a little bit further down in verses 14 and 15. Paul tells Timothy here, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." How many of us as parents know what Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7 says? You know, the truth is that none of us should approach parenthood without knowing these words. Moses writes, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Now notice this with me and see if you agree. These two mothers, Lois and Eunice, had God's words in their heart. And because they internalized the truth into their lives, they could impress upon young Timothy by talking about it throughout the day, and thereby showing how the scriptures should impact every area of life. Friends, it's tough to teach our children and others and impress upon them that we believe in God and the Bible and Christian living when we do not apply the word to our own personal lives. Raising children today in a Christian home is difficult enough because of what we face from the outside. But if we aren't living it, they certainly aren't seeing it. Lois and Eunice were great mothers because they lived out what they believed. Timothy saw it, and Timothy was challenged by it. There were four scholars arguing about the translations of the Bible. And one said he preferred the King James because of its poetic form. The other said he liked the American Standard Version for its literal rendering. And another said he was sold on the New Living Translation because of its contemporary English. The fourth scholar said, "I prefer my mother's translation. My mom translated each page of the Bible into life. It's the most convincing translation I ever read." That's what people see. Do we live it? How can we instill a respect for the Word of God in our children? We can do it in two ways. Verbally, by reading it, talking about it and teaching it. And two, and probably just as important or even more important, by allowing others to see us living it each day. Lois and Eunice instilled a sincere faith in Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." What does it tell us? One, that faith is not hereditary. You aren't born with faith. It is a learned trait. It is a trait that has to be demonstrated and modeled. But the word I like to focus on is sincere in this verse. When related to faith, sincere means not hypothetical. It means it is real. It is without any pretense or false front. Parents, I'll tell you this, no one knows better than children whether our faith is genuine and pure. How fertile is the environment in our family, in our home, our church, or in our social circles for the reproduction and the nurturing of authentic faith? Lois like to go back to Acts chapter 16. We talked about the first three verses. I'd like to read those now. It says that Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple there was named Timothy, a son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. I wanted to read these because I want us to look at the three qualities of Timothy that were no doubt passed down from him from his mother and grandmother that caused him to desire and to seek to be a servant in the Lord's church. The first is he was a disciple. Now, Paul could have referred to him as a believer or a Christian or one of the way, but he chose to call him a disciple. A disciple is a learner and a follower. A disciple is one who will follow Jesus in service to others. And it begs the question, are we willing? Secondly, Timothy had a good reputation. He was well spoken of. The people knew him as a man of integrity, a man who kept his word. And thirdly, he was available. As we continue into the book of Acts, you will find that Timothy was eager to minister. That Timothy knew what it meant to leave home, to face the hardships, and placing the interests of others before his own. But there is no way that this kind of commitment to ministry develops if it hadn't been taught and encouraged at home. As mothers and fathers, preachers and teachers and Christians, part of our job, part of our responsibility is to instill in others a respect for the Bible, both in word and example. And another is to pass on an authentic faith in God. But these two elements are only preliminary for the most important job that we have, and that is instilling these within our own children, within our Bible class students, and with our church members who desire to minister or a desire to serve Christ as others. Jesus in Mark 10, verse 45, said that he came to serve, not to be served. In John chapter 13, Jesus had sat down on a stool, had a towel, he was washing his apostles' feet. In verse 15, he said, I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Now, Jesus didn't tell them, look, I want you to go get a basin. I want you to go get some towels. I want you to go out into the street and wash people's feet. Because, you see, that's the way sometimes we teach our children. We get them in here and we have them wash each other's feet. It's an example, not a literal example. It doesn't mean, but we need to serve others is what Jesus is telling us. And our mothers are probably one of the most important ones to instill that in their children. How many of us are willing to take up a towel? How many of us are willing to become genuine disciples versus those who just believe? Our two mothers, Lois and Eunice, have set us an example. And on this Mother's Day in 2021, they are challenging each of us to live like mothers. Susanna Wesley was the mother of 17 children. Two of her children were John and Charles Wesley. And while we may disagree with their theology, both were a blessing to the English and American communities. History tells us that their mother spent 1 hour each day praying for her children, and that she took each child aside for a full hour each week to discuss spiritual matters. There's no wonder that her children were used by God and in His service because of the attention and what she did for her children. And I came across Mrs. Wesley's parenting guidelines when I was studying this week. And I'd like to share just a couple of them with you. She writes, "Subdue self-will in a child and thus work with God to save his soul. Teach a child to pray as soon as he can speak. Give a child nothing he cries for, and only what is good for him if he asks politely. To prevent lying, do not punish any fault that is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Commend and reward good behavior." And I like this one. "Strictly observe all promises you have made to your child." There is an awful lot here. And we spend a lifetime separating moms and dads. This is the dad's role. This is the mom's role. These are the characteristics we need to pick up from mom. These are the characteristics we need to pick up from dad. But I'm here to say that if we do not have a heart of a mother in each one of us, we failed our children. We've failed our families. We failed our church. We failed our communities, and we failed our nation. Mothers will sacrifice everything for the child. When Katie and Vince were growing up and it was dinner time, before Vicky got down to eat her first plate, I was going up for seconds. And I don't know how many cold meals Vicky ate, and I'm sure there's other mothers in here exactly like that, so that everyone else's needs are met first. And oftentimes, by the time Vicky set her plate down on the table, the three of us were ready to get up and do what we were going to do. Sacrifice of a mother, the love of a mother is second, is third to Christ and God. Because a mother would truly give her life for her child. And I'm sure there's a lot of dads who would say the same thing. But until we develop that heart and attitude and disposition of a mother, we're not going to teach our children a whole lot. If there is anyone here this morning whose desire is to put as Lord and Savior on in baptism, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. And if you are a child of God and if you realize that there are some areas in your life that you need to repent of or that you need to make right and you need our prayers, we want to give you that opportunity too. Or maybe you just need our prayers. And we want to give you that too. Whatever your need is this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.